Welcome to the Michael Irvin Podcast, the MIP. I am the MVP of the MIP. I am Michael Irvin, and I got a great show lined up for you today. First, we'll hit some of the big topics and the big things that are going on around the NFL. Tua Tagovailoa gets his first start. Antonio Brown is back. Where will he be headed? The Patriots 2-3 for the first time since 01, and the Steelers 5-0 for the first time since 78. We'll hit all of those topics in no big deal, big deal. Also, guess who I have for you? You're going to love this man. This dude doesn't hold anything back. He tell it like it, T-I-S-T is, like it is, and he gives you the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I call it the gospel. I'll have, he's not a preacher, but he's a teacher in many ways. My man, five-time Super Bowl champion, Charles Haley. Wait till you hear this conversation. You will not want to miss it. And I, as always, I will end it with some top performers. The guys that showed up and made the plays, even when others thought there were no plays there to be made. I call them my playmakers. Don't want to miss that either. So let's get right started. Let's get started right away with big deal or no big deal. And first up, big deal or no big deal. Aaron Rodgers shut out the last three quarters as the Packers suffer their first loss of the season versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Folks, everybody went crazy because everybody thought Aaron Rodgers was going to blow out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. This is no big deal. Just because everybody was wrong doesn't make it a big deal. And trust me, I was right. I was one of the only ones that had Tampa winning this football game. It's no big deal that Aaron Rodgers got shut out. I tell you what may be a little small deal is the way the rest of that team showed up for Tom Brady after Tom Brady was the GOAT the week before. I ain't talking about the all caps acronym GOAT. I'm talking about the little G GOAT. He was the GOAT of the week for holding up four fingers, but the tall, all cap acronym, G-O-A-T GOAT, greatest of all time GOAT, got protected by that defense that showed up and played and kept Aaron Rodgers in check. They sacked him four times. He had two interceptions. He had a passer rating of 35, one of the greatest quarterbacks we will ever see don a football uniform. Held in check like that by that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. Great job by them, but no big deal. Aaron Rodgers will bounce back. Tua Tagovailoa gets his first start. First, he makes a debut in the game, and he looks good throwing these passes. Now, this is a big deal that after the bye week, he will be starting for the Miami Dolphins, and I'm going to tell you why it's a big deal. First of all, just the story of completing that great comeback. After Tua went in the game, he threw a couple passes, had a couple completions. He went back on the field and sat out on that field so he can feel and relive the moment. Called his parents so he can feel and relive the moment. When you have something like that deep down inside of you, it won't let you rest until you find your greatest greatest. It will not let you rest. The fight that he did coming back. When I tore up my knee, man, I had never been hurt. And my second season in the NFL, the best thing that happened to me was that ACL injury because it made me refocus at a higher level, which I needed to refocus at a higher level because I was playing at a higher level. This will make this kid refocus. It'll make him appreciate it more every time he walks out on the football field because he knows, like I knew, it could be taken away with any one play. I can't wait to see this kid start his career. You see what's happening with Joe Burrow? He looks great. You see what's happening with Justin Herbert? He looks great. The Miami Dolphins are not out of it. They're still in the fight. And now Tua Tagovailoa will be leading that fight. I'm looking forward to watching that. That is a big deal. Folks, Antonio Brown, back in the news. Let's stop playing. Everybody, let's stop playing. This is a big deal. We watched as that thing went on with Antonio Brown. We watched the sadness of how that thing transpired with Antonio Brown. At the time, Antonio Brown was simply the best wide receiver in the National Football League. Simply the best wide receiver in the National Football League. So he's gone. He's been away a while. I see him working out. I know he gets to work out in with some guys. So I'm sure he'll still be in great shape. He's that kind of a worker. This is a huge deal. Right around trade deadline, when everybody's trying to stack and fix their team for the playoff run, Antonio Brown becomes available. And who do you think is the front runner right now for Antonio Brown? The front runner for Antonio Brown is the front runner in the National Football League right now. One of the front runners, the Seattle Seahawks. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Two things, guys, that I got to drop out here right here. You know, I think that phenomenal talent mixed with that team would be incredible. But if I am Seattle, and if I'm being truthful, and I can only be truthful, especially with you guys, I will have to monitor this because DK Metcalf is on another stratosphere right now, and I have to make sure anything I do does not mess with his mentality. His man reality is his mentality. So I got to make sure DK Metcalf is okay with anything I do by bringing in a guy like Antonio Brown. But I'm looking forward to getting him back in the league. Guys, the Patriots are 2-3 for the first time since 01. When I first saw this, I thought, no big deal. But then as I look deeper and deeper and a little bit deeper, I said, wait a minute, this is a big deal. We started this season talking simply who's going to win the battle, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick. And we watch every 7 days who wins, who loses, to see which one is going to make the playoffs or if one will not make the playoffs. And boy, this thing looking crazy for the Patriots. Now, I started thinking no big deal because I said, okay, they lost to the Seahawks, best team, one of the best teams in the NFC. They lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, one of the best teams in the AFC, and they lost to the Chiefs without Cam Newton. Then they lose to the Broncos, which bothered me some. But look at the schedule. They got San Francisco, Buffalo, the Jets, Baltimore, and Houston, and Arizona coming up. Those are going to be tough games. And right now, Buffalo's first in the AFC with Miami right there. So New England being 2-3, yeah, that's a big deal. That's looking like something we haven't seen in a long time, a New England Patriot football team not making the playoffs. Steelers 5-0 for the first time since 78. Incidentally, let me just tell you this right now. That's a big deal. Because in 78, when they were 5-0, they won the Super Bowl. So it's a big deal from the standpoint of the mentality that all these Steelers players will have. They may think we're back on that path. And it's a big deal from the mentality all of you had coming into the season when we thought the race was going to be between Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. That old man said, wait a minute, I'm still in this thing. That old man named Big Ben Roethlisberger, he's telling you, I'm still in the fight. I got a defense with me that I'm going to go in here and do some things against you young bucks. I can't wait to see how that plays out at the top of the AFC, especially with only one team now getting the bye and the Steelers being 5-0. My man, J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt, number 99 for the Houston Texans. They like to say number 99 on the jersey, but number one in your heart for all the great things he's done in the community. J.J. Watt collects his 99th career sack. Big deal? No big deal. No big deal. Hit me back next week if he can get 100, because that's where the real game start. That's where those real bad boys like Reggie White and all them bad boys, they all over 100. So hit me when he gets to 100. No big deal there. Let's just keep it moving. Mahomes, fastest quarterback to 90 passing TDs. Stop it, people. Let's stop it. It took him 37 games to get 90 passing TDs. Mahomes going to break so many records in the NFL. Mahomes fastest quarterback to 90 passing TDs in 37 games. No big deal whatsoever. This I love hearing. Did you guys know when the Dodgers advanced to the World Series after being down 3-1 to advance to the World Series, they had to go to a Game 7. Now, the Game 7, they fought back to get it to the Game 7. But in that Game 7, Kiki Hernandez arrived to the game wearing Kobe Bryant's number 8 jersey. And then he hit the game-tying home run on the 8th pitch of his at-bat. Wearing Kobe Bryant 8 jersey, hits the game-tying home run on the 8th pitch of his at-bat. A few innings later, Cody Bellinger hits the go-ahead game-winning home run also on the 8th pitch. Big deal or no big deal? I say this is a big deal. You know what? We love things the way we love them. We like them like we had it. You think Kobe Bryant would return in the form that he left. When the Lakers wore the Mamba mentality jerseys to close out game 5, and it did not work in Miami, and you remember Jimmy Butler went off and they won that game. So it did not work. Oh my God, do you expect that's where Kobe's going to come back? Well, if Kobe's coming back to us, he's going to come back on the basketball court. But it didn't work for the Lakers. But Kobe came back on the baseball diamond. You know, Kobe was a connoisseur of all sports. And he came back on the baseball diamond. When they put that 8 jersey on, that 8th pitch, Kobe was there for the game-tying home run and the game-winning home run. It's a big deal because it just tells you all and tells all of us, don't always expect people to return in the form that they left when they've had a little taste of heaven. That's all I'm saying. That is a big deal, and it's a great story to go with it. Now, let's get to a great conversation with my great friend, Chucky. The nickname fits Charles Haley. Oh, so perfect. If you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, but you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It's time to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheet and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need, all in one place, instantaneously. Whether you're doing $1 million or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite. Join the over 22,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/Irvin. Schedule a free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Irvin. netsuite.com/Irvin. Hey, welcome back to the MIP. I am Michael Irvin, and I have a special gift for you today. And he's a good friend, he's an old teammate, and he's a crazy man, and that's just the truth, but he is a 5-time Super Bowl champion, my man Charles Haley. Charles,
Mike,
how,
if you're going to introduce me correctly, introduce me as Mr. Badass. Hello.
Mr. Badass.
Yeah,
I can take
okay,
that.
Okay, now. We're on the right page now, brother.
Chucky, you are Mr. Badass, though, man. I've seen you do some incredibly badass things on the football field. And Chucky, I'm going to tell you right now. Let me just tell this and share this with everybody. One of the great stories that I remember and I hold dear. I remember, and I want you to remember this, see if you remember this. When we walked out to practice, big fella, remember the big Eric Williams had a car accident that almost took his life. We were celebrating one night. Somehow I was there. I said, make sure Eric didn't get his car keys. Somehow he got the car keys. He took off. And we took off after him trying to catch him. And by the time we caught up to him, he had ran into a wall. Really took a real accident, real bad situation. And then he had knee surgery. And Eric came back off surgery, coming back on the football field. Dude, the first day Eric came back. I'm getting chill bumps talking, thinking about it, y'all. You remember that?
Yep.
His first day back, Charles said, Charles, what did you tell Eric? You ain't ready until I check your ass out.
Until I check you out, baby.
Oh, my God. Talk about what happened, Charles.
And so we went over and he went through individual, and then we had to go pass rush. And I always went against Mark Tuane on the right side. So I went on over to the left side to see what he had, dog. And I jumped off the ball, dog, and he jammed me, dog. I said, welcome back to the NFL, dog. I said, damn. I said, okay, all right. I said, yeah, he got me on the first one, baby. I said, okay, now it's time to put a little bit of jiggle on it, baby.
Dog, I heard, listen, I'm listening to you, everybody. I'm telling you out there, I've never seen two men crash into each other with such force in my life. You said, I'm going to see if he's ready. And then y'all lined up, and it went, whoa! I was like, oh, my God. Dog, everybody on team, everybody stop now. It was no practice going on over here. Everybody stopped to watch this, and we got around the moon like high school stuff, and it was a collision. Like, oh, and then Charles did say, okay, yeah, okay, you're ready, your ass ready.
Yeah, you know what, man? That's what made us great, man. We took on all the challenges. We didn't sit there and pat you on the butt and say, okay, you ready. We challenged you, made sure that you understood that you are prepared to win. And if I didn't challenge Big E, he would have walked around with doubt in his mind wondering, can I do it? So when I challenged him and he got it done, then there was no more doubt because he knew what kind of guy I was. You know, I'm relentless. I'm going to come at him every play hard. I don't care if Danny got two broke legs out there. He shouldn't be out there if he can't stop me, you know. And so that was our mindset. He was a dog. I was a dog, man. We're going to see who get that bone first, you know.
Y'all had some battles, Charles. You talk about being a dog, man. And okay, you and I both, if we sit here and say athletes, by our standards, by athletic standards, you look at the wide receivers, man, physically gifted guys like Julio Jones or Terrell Owens, all these. I'm not that dude. On the other side, they'll look at guys, man, they call them freak athletes, freaks. They call them freaks. They all play your position, okay? But you're not that dude. But when it comes down to playing the game, we both different dudes.
We are. And the difference is, Mike, we want to win every play. Every play we think that we can be that difference maker every play. We don't get hit, run two passes, and go to the sideline, tap out. We stay out there till the battle is over. You know, that's the only way. You know what? My enemy, I ain't give him a time to catch a deep breath. I'm going to stay out there, hit you in your mouth, And then when you cover your mouth up, I'm going to hit you in your ass. So you know what? That's my mentality. And, Mike, the way you played, man, you wanted that ball, baby. You wanted that ball. Hey, give me that ball. Hey, I don't care. Just give me the ball.
How hard is it when you watch the guys now? You know, when you see what's going on the Dallas Cowboys right now, Charles. You know, knowing – how you play, knowing what you put out of players, you know, on a football field, and you see what you see now. What do you think about when you see that?
Man, it's it's been demoralizing for 2 to 3 years now, man. It doesn't matter who the head coach is. I believe that players have to police each other. You know, if I doubted every play, every defense that was called, if I doubted it, we would never been successful. You know, I watch these guys, man. They have no commitment. They have no love for the game. They don't care a damn about the Dallas Cowboys. Because it would show. It would show. You know, they want to say, oh, God, I want to be a Cowboy for life. But are you playing like you want to be a Cowboy for life? I didn't want to be a Cowboy for life. I want to be a Cowboy as long as I could play. I want to be a 49er as long as I could play. Hey, and the commitment, my commitment, I took 2 weeks off and I trained the rest of the time. These guys are, I watch the D-line from up at the balcony. They're the last to come on the field and the first to leave.
You mean the balcony over at the Ford Center?
At the Ford Center.
You're over there. Yeah, you go over there and watch them practice.
I watch and I yell down at them. You know,
What do you yell down at them?
I yell down, tell them they suck.
Stop. So you're over there where the Cowboys practice at.
Yeah, when they're coming out the field.
And they're coming out on the field to practice. Yeah. And you're on the balcony yelling down.
Yeah, and I boo him. I do all kind of stuff.
What are you yelling at him?
I'll boo! And then I tell him, I said, man, damn, we got two offenses out there, guy. It don't matter what say. We're going to see which one outscores the other. Because you know what? I said that word,
you tell
defense.
They got two offenses.
They got two offenses. They got no defense. They got two offenses. They just sit out there and see who can outscore each other. Because you know what? I ain't never seen nobody throw for 500 yards. And lose 500 yards, brother. You know what I'm saying? I'm going like, you know what? I was yelling there and I said, Dak, y'all got to play some defense on offense, dog, because the other side ain't doing jack, man.
And they don't say, wait, though. What do they say to you? Nobody yell nothing back up to you. Nobody say nothing. They just go on the field and take it.
Hey, man, they go like, I knew it had to be you. You know what? the difference is, Mike, when I go over there, I told the guys a secret to life. I said, I ain't about that friend shit. I'm about that win shit. So if we do some of that win shit, we do that friend shit. And all they are about is it being a friend. Being a friend, you can't hold nobody accountable. They're not holding each other accountable. They're not teaching the next generation how to be great. I watch guys, man, Mike, week in, week out, man, with no heart. They doing their own thing. Yeah, they want to yell at the coaches, talking about the coaches ain't teaching. Yeah, you got containment and you jump inside. Okay, you got a running quarterback this week in Arizona. The dude run like a rabbit and you never figured out maybe you should contain the guy, not run upfield. Yeah. Hey, it's just stupidity, man. And yet, they want to hold somebody. Hey, man, you start at your own house. You hold yourself accountable.
So you think them talking about the coaching, because that's what happened this week. A lot of the players are talking about they're not being coached up right. Coaches don't know what they're doing, and they're seeming to have some situations going on inside with the players talking about the coaching. Do you think those players are out of line speaking up or saying anything?
These players are gutless. You know, coaches point out the things they're doing wrong. They get up and leave the building. You know, what are they saying? What are they saying to one another? When Jason was here, one of the guys, Jason asked the guy to do something.
You said something now.
And he said,
as an interviewer, I have to ask you that. What do you mean by somebody gets up and leave the building? Are you just saying that?
Players. I'm saying players.
I know it happened.
I know it happened. Man, when they're trying
to correct the players, the players leave?
They get mad and leave. Bunch of garbage. You know what I'm saying? My thing is, I told guys, and I keep telling them, I said, you know what I always did? I walked up to my position coach and said, hey, what can I do to be better? What I need to do to be better? I said, but you know what? Y'all gutless. Y'all will never step up to your coach and ask that question. Because then you know what? You're going to be held accountable. I said, but you ain't going to do that.
Who are you saying this to?
I go to the offensive line. When I was able to go over there, I would go to the offensive line and teach those guys how to look at the guy crossing them, and tell you can tell whether they're gonna bull rush. You can tell, and so you know how to set on guys.
Right.
You know, I would walk player to player. First thing I made them do is they got to tell me what those guys' strengths are. They have to tell me. I will not give them no information.
Studying. Yeah, you're just studying.
They
also.
Have to tell me what this guy can do, and then at that point, then I tell them how to defeat it.
Then why are they listening to you? But as you say, they'll get up and not listen to the coach.
Hey, man, because coaches want to be their friend. I ain't that damn friend. I told them they want a friend, they better go home to their wife or their mom. Hey, because I ain't that guy. Right. And I tell them, and guys be telling me, I hate you. I said, good. I did my job right, then right, because you know what? You only hate somebody because you hear what they're saying and the truth stings. It's like a rattlesnake biting you, baby, over and over again.
Spend some time over there, Charles. So you think that what we see right now on the football field, this team giving up, I call them the Oprah Winfrey defense, excuse me, the Oprah Winfrey defense giving up 40 points here and there to anybody. Do you think there's any chance of this team correcting a situation and making a run?
No. No. The only way I told some guys that what I would do is, I said, I know y'all not me. I said, because I'd be damned if we're going to lose two games in a row and everything will be okay. I said, the guys I played with, that is not our standard, and we would not stand for that. I said, and on for defense, us giving up that many points, I said, I've never seen that in my life.
I said,
you know, hey, I would have lost my mind. They would have put me in that little yellow bus and had me taken off somewhere, dog. Because that is not. You have no. The only alpha dog you got over there is Zeke. And you know, he's carrying a load. Because now Dak gone, he really got to carry a load. And you know what? And he's being held accountable. And you know what? He's not focusing. I know that dog.
He's trying to carry too much.
Yeah.
Zeke's a dog.
I know that dog.
Zeke's a dog.
He's a dog.
You know what I'm saying? But explain to people, what do you mean when you say alpha dog?
Hey, Doc, that means that, you know what? He don't need to be motivated. He don't need to be told, okay, run or
he'll
whatever.
He'll bite you anywhere in the cage.
Yeah.
He'll bite
you. You know, all you got to do is, you know what? He just walks out there. Right, you know he's going to give you 100.
Right.
You know, most of the guys, man, you know, they got to be motivated. They unmotivated. Somebody got to inspire them to want to walk out on the field. And, you know, and Jerry, I think Jerry put too much stock on getting players that never played or been off the field too long. Because now, guess what? You're stuck, and you got guys taking up two steps and just standing there. And, you know, it's you know what? Guys, they have the physical ability, but yet, you know what? They haven't played in such a long time. They forgot who they are. And the thing that if coaches want to win, they got to go from the physical part of it to the mental part. They need to teach guys how to be intelligent.
But can they teach them this? This is what I hear you saying, and this is what I also believe. There are two things here. You don't have the physical ability and the desire. So you're talking about skill and will.
Right.
You know, some people have great skill, but don't do great things because they don't have great will.
Right.
And some people don't have great skill, but have such great will that they do such great, that they can do great things.
Correct.
Does this team have skill and will?
I don't see it.
They have skill, but not the will.
Yeah, you know, offensive line is garbage. And from that standpoint, no quarterback can withstand anything that's going on because the offensive line is terrible. You know, everybody Jerry just paid is hurt now.
Yeah.
We did that deal. Every one of them hurt. You know, on defense, you got bodies. You know, ain't nobody making no plays.
They're
getting paid a lot of money, but they ain't nobody making it.
DeMarcus Lawrence. I'm asked by some players. DeMarcus Lawrence, the leader of the defense. What do you think about DeMarcus Lawrence?
He's not the leader of the defense. He's not the leader of the defense. Because if he was the leader of defense, guess what? He would step up and make these guys accountable. Because you know what? Guys are doing their own damn thing. I look at the coverage, and then I watch what guys do. They jump inside. Hey, they jump inside on a damn cover three in the corner being run off. You know what I'm saying? And then, hey, nobody out there to contain. And I can't even enjoy the damn game because I'm always looking at the whole defense. And that's why I tell you, Mike, you know, DeMarcus, if he really wants to be a leader, then he got to correct. He got to go in that correct. Guys, hey, hell with that feeling. I tell the guys all the time. I said, you know what I did? I said, before I walked in the building, I left my ego and my problem outside the door. I said, because you know what? It's going to be there when I leave. When I leave, those problems and that ego are going to be there when I leave. I said, so I don't need to bring that into the building. I said, but what I do bring in the building is what my ex-wife might have did to me the night before. Somebody else said, I bring that anger and that rage up in there, dog. And you know what? And they see me smiling. We walk out to practice, I whoop that ass. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing we have to do. Yeah, people say I wasn't the greatest teammate, but you know what? I made people around me better because you know what? They have no choice. You know, is you going to stand up and get run over?
Just because everyone gets a sweaty crotch or inner thigh chafing doesn't mean you have to go through life with a sweaty crotch or inner thigh chafing. Old Spice has new below deck powder spray to help you feel drier and cleaner down below, and new below deck anti-chafe stick to help prevent inner thigh chafing. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck.
Yeah. Jalen Smith, I want to keep going with this guy.
Hey, man. Hey,
Jalen Smith, what are your thoughts?
I don't know, man. I look at the leg thing that he had is not fully developed. He's able to do 10.
Not fully healed?
No. If you watch.
It's still something.
After 5-6 yards, you see his legs going real fast, and then it slows down. Okay, so I look at all that stuff, man, and it's hard for those guys, man, because there's no line integrity in front of them. So it's no gap. You got A gap, B gap, man. And you're just like, you know, you're just running over top of it. And I don't know, man. I'm confused with what I see. I think he got effort. But, you know, I would like to see him making plays on the line of scrimmage instead of 5-6 yards back. Vanderish, I love him, man. But you know what? He's hurt. He has a desire, the will. But you know what, man? You just had your collarbone broken and you had your neck done. You know, it's hard for me to understand why he should be a guy coming back at game 8 or 9. And not now. Yeah. And you got players that can play. Yeah. And you got them on the bench. You need to bring something fresh, something new.
What they got on the bench they can play.
Well, guess what? Hey, you don't know. You don't know until you put it out there.
If they got something on the bench worse than what's on the field, please don't put it on the field.
Hey, let me tell you.
They got right now something on the bench that's worse than what's on the field.
They got players on it. They got some players on the bench that have a skill set, but they are cowards because they don't want people to see it because then they got to be held accountable for it. I've seen it at practice, but I've never seen it in the game. I've seen them go against Tyron and kick
go
butt.
And play hard.
Oh my God.
Get in
kick,
the game.
Long arm, do all that thing. But then get in the game, you don't see none of it.
Well, and that's the problem. You got to gather the players that show up on the light and stop just playing in the dark. Well, you got to make sure you're getting those players on
how
your
you
team.
Do, the way you do that is, Mike, and the coaches, you know, hey, you know how you do? You take the big guys inside. They're slow with their hands because they've been playing getting upfield with their shoulders. But now they got to play with their hands. Back them off the ball a little bit. Back them off the ball. Then they got to get them hands up. It's just little things.
That's a good technical thing, but I'm just saying that mental, you have to get in their head mental. Yeah, right. And what he means is sometimes defensive linemen, when they get jumps on the ball, they get jumps on the ball. And if a guy is slow getting his hands up, you can get your hands up, knock his hands down, and get around him.
Right.
So he should, you know, you slow, step half a step off the line of scrimmage to give you a little more cushion to get to him, which is, you know what, that is brilliant stuff. Brilliant stuff, because I would, even when I played the Z receiver, that's the receiver off the ball, I would always try to cheat the line of scrimmage close as I can to make sure I get to his hands when it's up to beat the press coverage, which I think is incredible. I love the little technical stuff like that, Charles, and that's what made you great. You knew the little technical things because you studied them. I studied those little technical things at wide receiver, because I wasn't the fastest guy out there, you know, so you had to study those little technical things, man. Let's talk about being great at a position, man. What were your thoughts when you saw what happened to Dak Prescott?
You know, I love the guy, man. He, from day one, he's been a part of my organization, Tackle Tomorrow. I go to my charity events. He comes to all of it, him, Zeke, Dak. Man, Cooper, all of them, and you know what, it broke my heart, man, because you know what, the stuff off field where he should have got paid, you know, I want him to get paid to then cement his career, so you know,
right,
you
don't have they'll be forced to wait on, him, right, they're forced to wait on,
right,
because they paid their contract, but, right, they're forced to wait on him,
yeah, but and then you know, I keep telling that. You know, I love him, but I keep telling that dumb ass, I said, look, you got to be like Brett Favre. I said, hey, I would have hit Brett Favre. I had a sack. I said, he laid down, dog. He didn't want that hit, dog. I said, thank God my leg rubbed across. I would have missed that sack. And, you know, and he said, hey, he got up. He said, hey, man, they supposed to have two people on you. I go like, well, you know, I said, man, don't lay down, I almost missed my sack. He said, you know what, y'all? He said, hey. I could throw three interceptions. I'm gonna throw seven touchdowns. You know, and I said, and I told Dak, I said, that's the mentality you got. Sometimes you just gotta give it up. You know, lay down. Don't take the punishment. I said, and just have enough confidence in yourself. I said, which you do have, that you can overcome anything. And going back to defense, Mike, stop dealing with the physical part of the defense. They need to work on the mental part of the defense. Everybody needs to know how everybody fits.
Right, right.
And then
right.
if they do that, right. hey, I mean, micromanage. Now you got to micromanage. You got to walk up defensively in. You got contain this guy, C-gap, linebacker. You got to go position. Every play over every defense, you have to do that now in order to get back to stability. If you want stability, then – everybody needs to know exactly what that job description is. And then it also takes somebody to hit them in the damn mouth. Hey, who gives a shit? Hey, you know what? My brother used to jump me and beat the hell out of me all the time. Just one more guy beat me. It ain't going to hurt, dog. It ain't going to hurt at all.
But, Chucky, let me tell you what I don't see. And I say, wow, that's so interesting. Like I don't see communication between the offense and the defense. Like, man, when we played Chucky, you know, we go out and it's three and out or something. I'm looking over there and I see you like, Michael, don't you bring your asses off this field? You would call us out.
Amen.
Like, hey, we got the ball down. Y'all better go do something. Don't come off the damn field. We just got off the field.
I was
like, man. And I would say to them, dude, come on, man. Y'all know, you know, y'all, you know, you're going to call us out. Now, let's go, man. Let's get this first down. Let's do something out here. I don't see them doing that at all.
Well,
I don't see that.
This game has changed since we played, Mike. There is no urgency. You know, when you watch the Cowboys, the only urgency comes when they get two touchdowns behind, and then they unleash the giant.
They unleash the giant
when they get down. And Stitter coming up, Mike, and realizing, okay, our defense ain't stopping nobody. So our offense got to control the clock. You know, you can't go out there and three or four plays and be done. And then the defense goes out, and then, you know, they got 11 play drive, and then they come off the field, and then you two or three out or fumble something. Hey, their legs are gone. You know, you can yell, scream all you want, but you can't beat a dead horse. And then, so then now you're playing your backups. You're playing your backup. You're playing your whole backup team. That's what bothers me. The NFL effed up because they did not do 2 weeks before so the guys could get conditioning. Right. So that they're able to play. And that's why these are so many injuries coming in because of that.
But that's some on the players, too. They didn't want – I thought they didn't even want any preseason games because of it all. But there were going to be repercussions. I've always thought there were going to be repercussions because of that. Now, listen, if you lining up, Charles, and you see – you're getting ready to play against the Dallas Cowboys, and you see Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback, what will your thoughts be when you see that?
I'll go like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because you know what? Hey – he ain't won nothing. Hey, what did he do? In the game Sunday, he threw 5-yard passes. Hey, man. Hey, he got hit. I don't see what. Hey, you know what? And they were acting like he was the second coming of God when Dak was holding out. And I'm going like, I told people, I said, man, if Dak coming in because of that guy, I said, well, shit, he should not be the head. He should not be the franchise quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, man. Hey, they had all that good quarterback talent out there, and they went and picked him. And I could not understand that because, you know what?
What do you mean? Hey, you could have got Cam.
You got to look at, yeah, you have to look at, right. You have to look at, okay, has he ever been successful? What has he done in the highlight? Dallas Cowboys, every game, you are in the light. There's no being in Cincinnati where, you know, people get a glimpse of you every once in a while. At the Dallas Cowboys, you are in the lights every play. Everything you do is going to be criticized. Hey, and guess what? You're in the playoffs every game as a Dallas Cowboys quarterback. And if you couldn't handle that in Cincinnati, how in the hell are you going to handle that at the Dallas Cowboys?
That offense gives you 10 points, Charles. What are you saying to?
10 points? Do you know what kind of receivers they got out there? Do you know what kind of running backs they got out there? Bruh. Man, damn. Hey, teams go in, man. You know what? They go in and say, okay, they put 20 in the game. They go to, they say too deep. They go to cover two or something. Because you know what? They ain't scared of that guy like bulldozing nobody. You know what I'm saying? They realize all he's going to do is bounce outside somewhere, you know? Yeah. Hey, then when Zeke come in there, they bring that safety down in there, eight in the box. Yeah. You know? They realize the only way the Cowboys can win is Zeke got to run the ball.
And then why people are talking about getting rid of Zeke now? You saying, I'm with you. Zeke, one of the only dogs you got in the building. Do not send this dog out the building.
Send him out.
I don't care what anybody say. Well, do not send him away. Chucky, you got 5 Super Bowl rings down. The only man, because I did this one time. I did an introduction. I did some event in Hawaii, and they introduced me, you know, and Mike Irvin, 3-time Super Bowl champion, Mike Irvin. And then... I guess maybe play with you. What's his name? The guy, Jesse...
Sapolo?
Sapolo. Then they say, Jesse Sapolo. 4-time Super Bowl. I said, I ain't never been introduced with somebody that has more rings than me. Now you have more rings than me, but the GOAT, Tom Brady.
The what?
The GOAT.
Well, you Tom know, Brady. Man, you have more to, you look at, hey, man, you know... The last Super Bowl I watched, when he played, man,
he had 6. You got 5.
Hey, yeah, I think that when I look back over New England, all I see is a bunch of cheaters that manipulated the game to win. Now,
are you trying to say his penalized. 6 aren't legit?
What I'm saying is, getting to the game. I'm not gonna say he didn't win a Super Bowl, but getting there, man, they did a lot of things that they got penalized first round draft picks for and suspensions and stuff. You don't get that for being a champion. Michael Jordan never did that? Huh? When you look at the greatest of all time, you don't look at, okay, now all of a sudden FBI guys got to be holding the football, police got to be holding the football because, so the balls don't be inflated or deflated. You know, it's crazy stuff, man. And I look back, and you know what? The thing that in my life, Mike, I don't envy nobody. I don't care. I don't care because you know what? God gave me that. I should not have won 5 Super Bowl rings, but God took me from one place that I thought I was in the 80s and brought me here, and I was depressed. And Mike, I won 5 Super Bowl rings. I got an opportunity, Mike, it made me cry when I won my 5th one because Ronnie Lott told me, he said, Charles, if you win your 5th one, you can pop me in the head with it. I put all them rings on, I'll pop it. It was 5 knots on his forehead, dog. I popped that fool on his damn head. He thought I was, hey, dog, he didn't think I was going to do it, Mike. Hey, he should have realized when he said it, right, Mike? Yeah,
especially when he said it to you. Anything said to you, you ain't.
Hey, man.
It's crazy. Check it, man. You're just as crazy as you could be, but you always been a good dude, Chucky. Now, you do know, I got to say this to you because, you know, I love you and I love all Tom Brady's. You do know you will be, Tom's going to hear all of this, and he will be in that room with you on that luncheon when we do those Super Bowl Hall of Fame luncheons, that Nisky luncheon. He's going to be in that room with you one day. And what are you going to say to him?
Hey, I'm going to say, hey, man, you know what, Mike? The one thing you're going to always understand is what I told you about that friendship. I'm about that win shit, okay? I'm about the truth. Why should I apologize for somebody else doing wrong? Huh? I supposed to apologize for what New England did? Huh? Do I supposed to do that? Now, I'm going to apologize for me doing some of the crazy-ass shit I've done while I play football.
What's the craziest shit?
Dog, man, I done so much, dog. I can't even count it, dog. Hey, dog, you know what they did? They gave me longitude, latitude. Then they said, okay, good Lord. Hey, let me put them in. They put most people in that box, Mike. They said, we can't put Charles in that box. Now, they put them in a circle, dog. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
What was truth and what was not? What was false? Stories. What was true? Like when they traded for you, the thing that went around the locker room when they traded for you, like, man, they got Charles Haley, man. You heard how they got him.
I said, how they got him? I said, man,
they said he stood up and peed in the coach's car. Like how much of this stuff is true?
Man, it's none of what they tried to do is, Mike, they tried to sabotage me, right? And the thing, Mike, they inspired me. Because you know what? They didn't want the truth to come out, Mike. That, you know what? They fucked up when they cut Ronnie at the Pro Bowl in front of me. And that brother was my dog. And the next year, dog, I you know what? My problem was I couldn't let it go. And I penalized George for it and the players. And yeah, and I challenged him daily. Daily, Mike, and he had no recourse because, Mike, I went at it, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know what, I played. He used to tell me he never makes no mistakes, but every damn day, Mike, he was calling me upstairs wanting me to be somebody that I wasn't. I was a dog. I went out there and I punished. I went out there and I competed hard. I made people accountable, and now all of a sudden he want me to be an angel for people. I can't do it.
What do you mean by angel?
He wants me to, he wants me to be some type of leader that I'm not. You know what I'm saying? He wants me to step in a role that Ronnie had.
Right.
Hey, bruh. Ronnie had a large vocabulary. Ronnie had a lot of good feelings. Me? Hell, I grew up in a segregated town. I was called boy and nigga most of my life. Yeah, I ain't doing none of that shit. None of that shit. All I am, hey. Black and white. You get it from me, I'm gonna whoop your ass, and that's it, and keep it moving. And they couldn't understand that, man. You know, hey, it is what it is, man. When we look at, you know, most people want to look around. Hey, I look at all the things I've been through, Mike, and I refuse to go backwards. I refuse to go backwards, man. You're not going to belittle me, talk me down, or make me feel bad about me. Because you know what? Family, God, family. That's what I believe. And you know what family means? That means some 55, 65, 70 people on that damn field. That's my family, too. Hey, I don't talk about my wife and kids, my mom and dad. I'm talking about family is all those guys out there. And you know what? Family, we fight. But you know, at the end, we find a way to work together to win. And that's my only commitment in life, Mike, is for commitment for family. If these damn guys, man, that's what drives me crazy. When I go over there, I said, man, y'all know what? I said, that smell, y'all see, y'all hear that smell? Y'all smell? I said, it's not gas, it's greatness. I said, and when I leave, that shit goes with me, dog. I said, that shit goes. I said, so you know what y'all need to do? Take some deep breaths, shit. I said, take some deep breaths. And then you know, Mike, I said, damn. I said, you know what? I'm a Mandingo Zulu. I said, you know what? I got breast milk too, but you got to pay for it. I said, damn.
I said, damn. Why they won't just tell you to stay away if you're doing these things at their practice?
Hey, now, you know why? You know why?
Stay away.
You know why? Because I tell them a secret to life, Mike. I tell the dog to bark, and I tell the punks that they need to either bow down or get the hell up out of here. You know, they need to go find that day job. And I tell them, Mike, I tell them a secret. I say, you know what?
Could you coach
y'all need to go to Walmart. I tell them they need to go to Walmart and be a greeter. I said, but your ass will get fired from that, too. I said, that's how dumb you are, man.
Could you coach him?
Man, see, you know what? They always hollering about. I look at New England. That guy that coached there, Belichick coaches those guys hard. So you know what? That's bullshit when everybody got to be everybody's friend. Belichick ain't trying to be everybody's friend. He ain't got no TVs everywhere, you know, make it comfortable. Hell. You know, if you want comfort, win. Win. When have you ever heard them say, I want to win a Super Bowl? When have you ever heard any player at the Dallas Cowboys, after we left, say, I want to win a Super Bowl? They always say, I want to go to playoffs. So you know what? Every year, Mike, they're going for second place. And you know what? I tell my kids, I said, we going out here. I said, but if we going out here for second place, we going back home. I turned the car around a couple of times. That mom had to take them back, though. But, hey, no. If you think about second place, I'm done.
Tell you, you're getting like, I know we're in the voting season. Everybody should get out and vote. But you're getting like a politician, Chucky. You still ain't answering my question.
What?
Did you piss in that man's car?
No, I did not piss in the man's car. And what happened was, me and Tim Harris, they brought Tim Harris there to take my job, right? And I told that nigga straight up. I said, there can only be one.
So you and Tim Harris,
there can only be one. And you know what? He got that understanding real damn quick. And even now when I see him, I walk up and say, there can only be one, you know? Hey, and me and him used to go to Chili's or Friday's, and after practice, me and him, we would go over there, we would sit there, talk, and drink. And, you know, Tim is a connoisseur of alcohol, so I would learn new drinks, and we would drink, and then we came back. And we was in between the cars. The building was locked. So I peed in between the cars. And so then, hey, you know what? Hey, I'm going to be real. I pee in between the cars, right? And, you know, hey, I think Tim might have came over talking about don't pee on my car and stuff, right, man? But, you know that you can't control that water hose, dog. So somebody might got on the side of the car or whatever, dog. You know, hey, man, you know, hey, man, I ain't gonna lie to you. I've done some dumb things before, man, but I've never done anything that damn stupid, man. And because at the end of the day, I respect Tim Harris, and I think that people saying I did that to his car, meaning that they knocking him down, that he's not a man, because he didn't fight, because it didn't happen like that. And I respect the man.
So if a guy peed on your car, you got to fight?
Shit. Dog, hey man, what? You don't get 6 feet. You know that 6 feet? That's 6 feet. We were doing that shit way back in the day, dog. You know what I'm saying? You get 6 feet, dog.
We gonna break that
fight, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Check it. How is it that you are so? Check it. I don't know any other word to just say it, man. Crazy, but you do. You go crazy when it's time to work, do your charity events. Now, I mean, I get you over here all the time. Mike, where you at, Mike? I need your signs for things. Mike, where you at? When you landing in Dallas? I need your signs. I need this for my charity. How does that, doesn't fry? Most people that know how crazy you are, what they think, they don't see you doing all the charity work you do.
Mike, my charity is something that's built from my heart. I went to college. I went to college reading two grade levels behind, and I'm not like you, Mike. You can put your A, B's, and C's together, man. I ain't never seen nobody do it at the drop of a dime. Hey, man, you are an incredible speaker. Me, I had the hardest thing I ever done in my life was to graduate from James Madison. And the hardest thing, I have to look back in my life, Mike, and, you know, most of the time I look back, it makes me tear up because they gave me an opportunity, Mike. I should have never got to college. But they gave me an opportunity, and you know what? I said, shit, I'm not going back down to that farm. I'm not walking back anywhere with cow shit on my shoes, going to practice. You know, I'm not doing none of that. I said, so I went, after my freshman year, I went home. I hugged my mom. I said, Mom, I can't come home during the summer anymore. I said, I got to catch up. She said, boy, I know. And I had to work, man. So I gave them my bus. I gave them my gold jacket. Mm. James Madison, you walk in there, they got, because you know what? They stepped up for me, dog. Yeah, yeah. They stepped up. They the first ones that stepped up for me and showed me love. James Madison University, they showed me that love. And then, Mike, so now I'm in South Dallas, and kids are reading three grade levels behind in kindergarten and first grade. I mean, fifth grade is going going to junior high, reading two to three grade levels behind. And you know what? So that is what passion in my heart, Mike. I go down there. First thing, we have to change the way that the school look at things, right? Accountability. Start at the top. Accountability. Okay? I hold you accountable. You hold me accountable. What do you need? Okay, we get that needs. We pay for it, we get that need. But we verify first. So we have the technology because what happens in the black community and Hispanic community is that when kids come in not speaking English, it holds the African American kids back because they teach you a test. So now with iStation, we pay for the inscription. Every kid get to go at their own level. So it doesn't hold anybody back. And I mean, Mike, it's, you know, I'm bipolar. And, you know, that's probably another bad thing. I'm bipolar. Mm-hmm. And I really now, in the last 10, 15 years, I've been taking my medicine. I've committed my life to change. And, I would never change if I hadn't made that decision to really understand my mental illness because I would have been stuck and stupid and I'd probably been in jail or something like that, but God changed me. You know, like my mama beat Christ into me, but I had to let him out. And I let him out, and guess what? My life is full of joy now, you know, and that's why I can go out now, Mike. I can go out and hug people. I can go out and love people. But yet, that dog still lives. That dog still lives. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to run from any battle. You know, and I tell people, you know what? I go down there. I love people with my eyes wide open. My heart might be in my pocket, but my eyes going to be wide open. Because if the words come out your mouth and your action match, then guess what? You know where my heart is. And that's where I live, and that's where I lived as a player. But the greatest thing as a player, Mike, Bill Walsh, he taught us it's mental first. if you can't see it, you damn sure can't do it. Right. So visualization is the key. And that's why I tell you now, Mike, is if Cowboys want to change, start mentally. Okay, put everybody on the same page. It ain't no us against them. And I told them idiots when I was over there, when I used to be able to go there, I said, you know what? I played 13 years in the league. I said, I've never got one coach fired. I said, every defensive coach went to head coach or my D-line coach went to defensive coordinator. I said, hey, I never got anybody fired. I said, because you know what? I went out and did my damn job.
And that's what they need more of. Men that go out and do their damn job.
Yeah.
Chucky, thanks for taking the time, man. I know I grabbed way more of your time, man, but it's always good just chopping it up, man.
Well,
catching up and chopping.
You know, if you get a chance, go to tackletomorrow.com and learn about our charity. Yeah. It's a great organization, and it's very small, but we go in the community and we do great things. I always tell the people that sponsor me and Mike and all the guys that help me out is that it's everything is about accountability, and I'm accountable to everybody that ever gave a dime because I believe in my dream, and I want my dream to be fulfilled with the young kids because I don't need notoriety. All I want is success for the kids, and thank you, Mike, for all that you do Amen. For me. You show up and show out every time I ask you. Hey, you've always been that man. You've always been that man.
Chuck, and you're a great friend, great friend, buddy. And I love you, man. And I remember they first got you. I said, man, we got this crazy joker, man.
Hello.
But you came to be, I mean, the greatest thing for us. I mean, you took us to another level. And I'm pretty sure that when they sent you to San Francisco, thought they were sending you away. To go sit down and be on nothing. I don't know. They sent you over here, and that was the wrong place. I'm working on some stuff, on some literary stuff, Chucky, that talks a lot about what you were just talking about. I said, because I always said our greatest pain sometimes produces our greatest promise. You know, when you talk about reading behind, a couple grades behind, and then making sure no other kids go through that because you remember the pain of it. And it's true, and as I thought through it more, it goes, our greatest pain gives us a great passion that pushes us to our greatest purpose.
Correct.
And that's the love.
That's the Mike Irvin I love right there,
What's
man.
That?
Yeah, you just put your A, B, and C together. You brought some knowledge. Hey, you might need to repeat it because they probably didn't hear that now. Bring it down again for Mike. That's
crazy,
the Michael
Irvin
I know.
But I love him, man. I love him, man. Listen, thanks for taking the time, Charles.
Hey, I
thanks
love
for
you,
taking
Mike.
Taking the time, man. Love you too, brother. Every time I think about Charles Haley, man, I just laugh, man. He's just such a great dude, man. I appreciate him spending so much time just sitting here chatting with me, man. You talk about playmakers. Every week he showed up. He was a playmaker, which leads me right into my playmakers of the week. And I want to jump right into it because I love delivering my kind of honorable mentions. I like giving you kind of two honorable mentions maybe before I get to my main guy, but I want to shake it up a little bit right here. And I'm going to give you one honorable mention and then Batman Robin duo for my playmaker of the week. My one honorable mention is that young guy down in Minnesota, Justin Jefferson. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Stephon Diggs is doing wonderful things in Buffalo. Wonderful things. And I said all season that they're going to miss Diggs. And I meant that because I knew what kind of talent he was. But I must give credit to this young fellow, Justin Jefferson, from the Minnesota Vikings. 9 receptions, 166 yards. 2 TDs, a 2-point conversion, and a loss to the Atlanta Falcons. Let me tell you why I love it so much. I was told when I was a kid, when I was a young man playing in this game of football, my first year in 1988, Paul Hackett, my offensive coordinator, called me in the office. He said, Michael, you know your job? I said, my job is to catch touchdowns, man, to catch the football. He said, your job is to be the best wide receiver on the field every Sunday. I don't care who's on the field. Your job is to be the best wide receiver on the field every Sunday. Justin Jefferson had Kevin Ridley on the field. He had Julio Jones on the field. He had Adam Thielen on the field. And he showed up. He said, I'm going to be the best wide receiver on the field this Sunday. That's why he's an honorable mention and my playmaker of the week. Keep doing your thing, young buck. Justin Jefferson from the Minnesota Vikings. Now, I want a Batman and Robin, my playmaker. My playmakers of the week, I should call it that. I'm going to give you Robin before I give you Batman. And usually when we talk Batman and Robin, the Batman is always the quarterback and the Robin is a wide receiver or a running back or somebody like that. But this thing shakes up a little bit differently. It shakes out a little bit differently. My Robin in this scenario is the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. He went 30 for 41 for 364 yards. Four TDs. That's a 9-1 TD interception ratio so far this year. That's incredible. That's incredible. Ryan Tannehill, who just a few years ago got cut. I always tell you about distance travel. He got cut, not necessarily cut. He got let go, got sent to Tennessee. And everybody thought, wow, maybe it just didn't pan out because it was a first-round draft pick in Miami. He just didn't pan out. I tell you what, he's panning out very well in Tennessee. And now that he has Arthur back, that's A.J. Brown. Trust me, keep expecting great things out of Ryan Tannehill with Tennessee and the way Mike Vrabel used him. He is the Robin of my playmakers of the week. Now, my Batman, my Batman is a bad man. My Batman is a bad man. They call him the King. King Henry. King Henry went 22 carries, 212 yards, two TDs, two receptions for 52 yards, 267 total yards on the day. That's a man's load. 267 total yards on the day. Joins only Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, and LaDainian Tomlinson as the only running backs ever to have three 200-yard rushing games. That's incredible, man. King Henry, everybody know that you are getting the ball. Everybody knows that you are the catalyst of the Tennessee Titans. Everybody knows, no matter what they know, there is nothing they can do about it when King Henry is coming downhill. Get out of the way because the king is coming. King Henry, you are my playmaker.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.